Robert Morgan tells the true story of a pilot by the name of Philip who lived in Shelbyville, Illinois. And one night a friend came by Philip's house with his wife and suggested that they go for an evening plane ride. Soon, four of them, Philip and his wife, Bobby, were all aloft in a four-seater beach musketeer overlooking the lights of their sleepy town. And after staying up for a while, they decided to head back. The lights of the runway came into view. And Morgan recounts what happened next. That's the last thing Philip remembered. Later, he learned that the nose wheel of the musketeer hit a power line, flipping the plane over. His wife, Bobby, was thrown through the side window onto the ground, while Philip remained suspended, head downward, in his seatbelt with over 100 fractures. As he regained consciousness, Philip's mind was fragmented and scattered, with scattered, confused images. Hours passed, and as his head began to clear, a series of thoughts came into his mind, like brilliant shafts of light. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. Who hath saved us, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. Fear not. For God so loved the world. Is there anything too hard for me? These were fragments of Bible verses, but Philip wasn't a religious man. He didn't go to church. He hadn't opened the Bible in years, and he had certainly never memorized any scripture verses. Or had he? Slowly, a few vague memories filtered into his mind, a little circle of red chairs. Old Mrs. Wolf with an open Bible on her lap, little cards, awards, as a five-year-old boy. Philip had attended a Sunday school class, and the teacher had drilled them on Bible verses. Those who learned the verses were given prizes, but Philip never earned any. Morgan concludes, yet down in the depths of his brain, those memory verses lay like dormant seeds waiting for just the right moment to germinate. Oh, there is something about the Word of God. There's a reason why it is never counted on the New York Times bestseller list. You know that, right? Because it absolutely blows it away and has before the list was ever invented. The Bible is the best-selling book in human history. Something about Philip and Bobby you need to know. They both survived the plane wreck. They sought out a church, and they became followers of Jesus. And that brings us to our scripture this morning in the fourth chapter of Matthew. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Now you may be familiar with these verses. Of course, this is the account of Jesus being tempted by the devil, and in response, he quotes Scripture. Now let's go deeper. The words are so familiar that we can say them without really thinking about what they mean. What is it that Jesus is really saying here. These words, "Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." There's a lot here. First, it's God, not food, that keeps us alive. We recognize that at face value. And second, that means if you really want to live, if you want the life God intends for you, then you must take his word to heart. How much does the word of God enter our thinking as we go through the day? How much does it direct our thinking? Do we meet him there? Does he speak to us through it? Because we know him, and we know his word, and he brings it to mind. We've been looking at the importance of meditating and reflecting on the word of God in recent weeks. And so to go a little deeper into this that Jesus is saying, let's take a look at the scripture that Jesus is quoting. It's found in the 8th chapter of Deuteronomy. It's in the instructions that God is giving through Moses to the nation of Israel before they enter into the promised land. But before we go there again, let's pray again. Lord, your word is truth, and you speak through it unlike any other place. We ask that you help us to take it to heart in ways we never have before. Carried along by the fresh breeze of your spirit, to stand in new places, beautiful places, where we see you afresh. In Jesus' name. Amen. Be careful to follow every command I'm giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land the Lord God, the Lord promised on oath to your ancestors. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Do you see that picture of vital dependence there? Everything, every step through the wilderness is dependent on him. How else can you and I navigate the wilderness of life? And here is Jesus in the wilderness again, confronted face to face with the devil himself. And you've got to love his strength. His strength, of course, is again in total dependence. Here he's been fasting, and to Satan that would seem that that's the opportune moment. But Jesus is even stronger in that moment, in his complete dependence on God. And what he shows us here is that if you and I really want to grow in a relationship with God, we too must draw life from his word. This is strongly underscored in Scripture in so many ways. And in one sense, we know this, and we think, okay, Pastor, tell me something new. But the question is, do we apply it? How much are you and I looking at our lives and practically saying, how am I applying the Word of God in new, fresh ways as I live? Usually, it's not that, right? We're just so busy scraping by, trying to get through. But here Jesus presents us with an alternative so that we don't only live, we thrive. Remember what Isaiah wrote, those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. Right? You know, it's interesting too, as we think about this whole thing of dependence, we have to go straight to Jesus. And Jesus is called the Word in the first chapter of John. Here it is. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. He's called the Word because it is through Jesus that God spoke the world into existence. And so you and I are to live by Jesus as the Word. He leads us daily. Peter wrote about this. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us, oh, don't you love this part? His great, His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. We do not live by bread alone, but by God's promises and the strength they give as they draw us to Him. The more we dig into this, the more exciting it gets. Notice what Peter is describing, very great and precious promises. That's something to look forward to. That's something to build a life on. That's something to give us hope in those times where we are just raw and worn down. Peter writes that we can even participate in the divine nature. What is that? It means that you and I are children of the living God, and we can know it. Sons and daughters of our Father in heaven. And so Paul would write, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good and pleasing and perfect will. Dear one, oh, we need to ask ourselves, don't we? How much are we renewing our minds with the Word of God? How well do we know it so that in those moments of temptation, we can quote it, we can pray it, we can call on it. And our thoughts can be redirected from where they were running into the place where God would have them be. You know, this should make us wonder, what if we made a pointed effort to know the promises of God and claim them as our own? What if we took these very great and precious promises that Peter describes, right? And start thinking practically about how we can plug them in every day. I love what Charles Haddon Spurgeon wrote about this. He said, God's promises were never meant to be thrown aside as waste paper. He intended that they should be used. Nothing pleases our Lord better than to see His promises put into circulation. He loves to see His children bring them up to Him and say, Lord, do as Thou hast said. As a matter of fact, elsewhere Spurgeon wrote, and I spent an entire year studying Spurgeon for my doctoral work. And, I mean, his work on prayer is genius. I mean, it is so inspired. And elsewhere, he says that this is the most powerful prayer that we can pray. Lord, You've said it. You've said it. Think about the small child. Think of the position that puts the parent in, right? How many of you have ever had a three-year-old say to you, but You promised? And Spurgeon is looking at it from that standpoint. Let's keep reading. Nothing pleases our Lord better than to see his promises put into circulation. He loves to see his children bring them up to him and say, Lord, do as thou hast said. Our heavenly banker delights to cash his own notes. Never let the promise rust. And here he goes on, and he talks about actually a sword and using it with holy violence. It's kind of an interesting thing. But in other words, be serious about this. He is more ready to hear than you are to ask. The sun is not weary of shining, nor the fountain of flowing. It is God's nature to keep his promises. Therefore, go at once to the throne with, do as thou hast said. It is the promises of God, empowered by his Spirit, that help us to know him and enter into a relationship with him and love him and become more like him. And I wonder what would happen for us if we took a promise every month. I think God may be leading us to this for 2019. If we just as a church took a promise every month that could be also applied through our prayer lives and worked on it together, wouldn't that be cool? I mean, 12 promises, 12 months. We can memorize a verse a month, right? That would be easy. 12 promises, 12 months. Lord willing. But imagine how applying the Word of God can transform our hearts and minds. How it can give life to us. How it can give encouragement to us. How we can give hope to each other through it. How effective we can be as believers as we are grounded in this place. Monday was a crazy day. In 21 years of living in Durham, I have never seen it rain like that. And believe me, our property handles a lot of water. I've never seen it like that before. Our neighborhood was hit with 4 inches of rain overnight, but then within a span of a couple of hours, 6 more inches fell. And of course, that's nothing compared to what hit Wilmington. But I was outside much of the time with a shovel and with a hoe, making sure the drainage ditches on the hoe on the hill behind us were clear in order to keep them from overflowing coming up on the house. but before I had gone out that morning, I was in the 26th chapter of Isaiah, "You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast, because they trust in you." Trust in the Lord forever. For the Lord himself is the rock, eternal. And those words so impacted me that I wrote them down in my daily calendar so that I could memorize them and keep coming back to them. This is my, I know some of you might think, gosh, my pastor is so holy, he carries a Bible around all the time. No, it's my Franklin Covey planner, actually, if you ever wondered. But with my ADD brain, it's how I just sort of survive sometimes. But the point is that it's a great place for me to write verses down. You may have a place like that as well, where you see it, and you can keep coming back, and keep coming back until you know it. And you can pray it. And in the quiet places of the night, where troubles creep in, where the evil one would discourage you, oh, you have a place to go. Right then. And the more we add to this arsenal of God's Word in our hearts and minds, the more blessed we will be. You know, in the Hebrew of those verses, You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. You know how the word perfect peace is written? Shalom, shalom. It's repeated. That's perfect peace. You will keep in peace, peace. It's the peace of pieces from the Prince of Peace. You will keep in perfect peace, peace, peace. Those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you, trust in the Lord forever. For the Lord Himself is the rock eternal. We do not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And oh, He longs to speak to us. May we pray. Open your word afresh, Lord, we pray, to each of us, that we may see you in it, that we may know you through it, that we may treasure you because we treasure your word. That's what your word tells us. I rejoice in your word, the psalm says, like one who rejoices in great treasure. Lord, you are our treasure. There's nothing better than knowing you. And this morning, as we've talked about these things, maybe you've felt at a distance from Him. Maybe you can look and say, you know, I've never received Him. Oh, what a day today can be as you come to Him and say, yes, I want to receive you. It doesn't mean that you have to have all your questions answered. We can believe and have questions at the same time. I love the prayer of the man that prayed, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. But if we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, came and lived a perfect life and suffered on the cross so that every sin would be paid for. That if you come to Him and say, Lord, forgive me of my sins, He will. He will. And if you ask Him, Lord, I want to live a new life in you, oh, He will. He will live through you. If anyone is in Christ, that person's a new creation, His word says. It doesn't matter where you've been or what people think of you or what they say about you. What matters is that your life is now hidden in Him. And in Him, you're brand new. Oh, would you run to Him for that if you never have? Because He loves you. And He waits for us to walk with Him. Lord, give us grace to do this. Show us, each of us, including this preacher, fresh ways to take your word to heart and so take you to heart. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you.